Good morning, church family. It's all a little surreal, and it doesn't help. I've been sick all week, so I have that brain fog going from fighting a cold. But before I start, I just want to thank you for the going away reception last Sunday. Cindy and I just felt so honored and loved and encouraged. And so for those that were able to attend and for our staff and elders and volunteers who organized and worked the event. And thank you for the grandparent survival kit you gave us. Cindy and I did become first-time grandparents on December 9th. So. This is Adeline Riley Peck, daughter to Ethan and Macy, and granddaughter to me and Cindy. And so we're so excited to welcome Adeline into the world and start this journey as grandparents. And everybody tells me that Ethan looks the most like me, so except he never smiles. And so that is a rare smiling picture. So we're excited about that new part of our journey. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And we have been in this series called Songs of the Season, where we've been looking at the songs surrounding the Christmas and Advent story. But since this is my last Sunday here at Glenkirk, I hope you'll forgive me for deviating a little bit from that series today. The song from the Bible I want to talk about is not an Advent song. It's not a Christmas song. It's a mountain song. I'd like to share with you from arguably my favorite passage from the Bible today, Psalm 121, which is a mountain song. And so it's on page 885 of the Pew Bibles. And would you stand with me for one last time, if you're able and willing, for the reading of God's word today, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So, word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Psalm 121 is a collection, part of a collection, of 15 songs that are often called the Songs of Ascent. And in ancient Israel, God's people would sing these 15 songs as they hiked up the mountain to the temple in Jerusalem, as they traveled to worship three times a year for Israel's annual worship, or three worship festivals. That's why they're called the Songs of Ascent, because God's people would sing these songs as they ascended the mountain. This is a mountain song. And you all, from the last 6 years, know that I love mountains. I love hiking, I love climbing, camping in the mountains. But mountains can be dangerous places. 10 years ago, my good friend Alfred fell to his death on a solo hike on Deerhorn Mountain in Kings Canyon. Lots of things can go wrong on a mountain. And back in ancient Israel, mountains were not just dangerous physically, they were also dangerous spiritually. The mountains around Jerusalem were filled with shrines and what they called high places that worshiped false gods. And a traveler on his or her way to Jerusalem, hiking up the mountain, would pass by all of these high places on their way to the temple. In Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Peterson says that at this time, people would be lured to these shrines, to engage in acts of worship that promised to enhance the fertility of the land, make them feel good, and protect them from evil. Mountains were dangerous places. And ascending a mountain is an appropriate way to describe us today. Some parts of our spiritual journey of following Jesus are difficult and perilous, like ascending a mountain. And today, as we part ways, we both find ourselves at the foot of a mountain. For me, the mountain is wondering what and if my health issues will get better and what ministry is going to look like for me in this next stage. And for you, the mountain is wondering what Glenn Kirk's next season of ministry is going to be like, who your transitional pastor will be. When this singer looks up to the mountains, he knows that the mountains themselves are not the source of our help. Our help comes from the Lord of heaven and earth, the all-powerful God who created the galaxies. The temptations and dangers of the mountains are no match for the power of our God. On our pilgrimage, our help comes from our all-powerful God. Our help comes from our all-powerful God. God alone is our strength and our help as we ascend the next mountain in our lives. And today our trails split off in different directions, but our help will come from the same source, from an infinite God who knows us, from an all-powerful God who created the galaxies, from a wise God who is trustworthy and good and loving. God knows what we need and when we need it. And God has all the resources we need for the journey ahead of us. Our help comes from an all-powerful God. In verses 3 through 6 of this psalm, the singer describes some of the dangers that we encounter on the mountain. One danger on a mountain trail is slipping and falling. Last year, an experienced hiker from Covina slipped and fell to her death while she was trying to ascend the Mount Baldy Bowl. As we ascend the mountains of our lives, our feet sometimes slip out from under us, and we find ourselves falling. Another mountain danger is exposure to the elements. On a mountain trail, the blazing sun can kill you. My parents once were on a hike, and they took what they thought was a shortcut, and they got lost, and they almost died of dehydration. They had to be rescued. When we're on an upward climb in our lives, we can become exposed, and that can make us exhausted, depleted, vulnerable. Verse 6 talks about the moon harming us by night. Eugene Peterson points out that people in the ancient world believed that the moon could make you emotionally ill. They used to call it being moonstruck. These climbs up into the mountains of our lives can expose our emotional vulnerabilities. We can suddenly find ourselves crippled by anxiety or hit with a wave of depression or suddenly overcome by memories of a past trauma. But Psalm 121 assures us that despite the dangers of mountains, on this pilgrimage, God constantly protects us. God constantly protects us. In contrast to the false gods that people worshiped along the shrines and the high places along the trail, our God does not sleep. Our God is watching over us constantly, lovingly providing and caring for us with each step. We can be sure that whatever danger or obstacle we might face on this mountain, God will be with us. Yes, we might stumble and fall. Yes, we might be overcome or struggle with anxiety or depression along the way, but God is with us, and God will protect us. We can be sure that whatever lies ahead in our future, that God will be there, so we don't have to fear. My favorite verse in the psalm is the last verse. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our lives are filled with transitions, with comings and goings. It starts with our birth, our coming into the world. And it ends with our death, our going out from this life to the next. And in between, there are lots of comings and goings, transitions into and out of schools and jobs and relationships and churches and communities, transitions into new seasons like marriage and parenting and grandparenting and retirement. About 6.5 years ago, I was meeting with my staff at Lake Avenue Church for a half-day prayer retreat. At the time, I was the associate pastor of adult ministries at Lake Avenue, and I supervised a team of about 10 pastors and other staff members. And as we gathered together for this retreat, it was centered around this psalm, Psalm 121, and we engaged in a practice called Lectio Divina, a prayerful way of engaging Scripture. And as we did, God clearly spoke to me through verse 8 that my time at Lake Avenue was about to come to an end. And I was surprised because I hadn't been at Lake for very long and I didn't really have a reason or desire to leave. But then the next week after that, I found out that my wife Cindy's home church, a church called Glenkirk, was looking for a new senior pastor. And after talking to Cindy about it and getting counsel from a retired Glenkirk pastor, Pastor Fulton Lytle, and then praying about it, I applied. And I did that with the assurance that God would watch over my going from Lake Avenue and my coming to Glenkirk. And God did. And today I'm trusting that same promise, that God will watch over my going from Glenkirk, and that God will watch over the coming of your transitional pastor and your moving into your next season. See, on this pilgrimage, God leads us through the transitions. God promises to lead us through the transitions. And life is filled with transitions. I've been rereading William Bridges' classic book, Transitions, lately. And Bridges says that a transition always starts with an ending. To become something else, you have to stop being what you were. To start doing things a new way, you have to end the way you were doing them. Life is filled with these transitions. And God is with us through each and every one of them. And as I think about Glenkirk's transition into its next season, let me share a couple of my hopes for you as a congregation. First, I hope you keep Jesus first and above all at Glenkirk. I've shared with you many times over the last 6 years, but let me say it one last time. The biggest temptation any church faces is putting itself before Jesus in very subtle ways. A pastor can put him or herself at the center of the church instead of Jesus. A while back, someone asked me who the head of Glenkirk Church was, the pastors or the elders. Well, it's neither. Jesus alone deserves that title as the head of the church. And if we put our pastors or our elders at the head of the church, we put ourselves above Jesus. We can be tempted to put our theology or our building, our resources or our ministries before Jesus. And this is one thing I've really grown to appreciate about Eric Schaus, our director of worship, because he really gets the fact that worship is about God. It's not about us. I've told Eric many times that I've worked with a lot of different worship directors and pastors, and that he's kind of a worship unicorn because he's extremely gifted musically. But he also has great pastoral sensitivity, and he loves developing people, as we even saw this morning. Glenkirk's blessed to have him, and I'll miss my partnership in ministry with him. My hope is that Glenkirk always keeps Jesus first and above all. I also hope that you trust God during this transition process, that you trust in God. Pastoral transitions can be scary. Staff members are worried about who their next head of staff will be like. Elders wonder about who they'll be partnering with in their decisions. Members worry about whether the pastor nominating committee will reflect their desires and the search for a new pastor. People wonder about what will ministry be like in the meantime. There's a reason why in our tradition, this process to get a new senior pastor takes some time. Because when we're anxious, We are tempted to make impulsive decisions, decisions we often regret. So it's good that it's a slow, deliberative, prayerful process. But because it's slow, it can be frustrating at times. My hope is that you trust God during this process, trusting your leaders, your elders, and your pastors, and your staff, and eventually your pastor nominating committee. And if missteps happen along the way, trusting that God wasn't surprised by that, and God is still working. Trusting God in the process means being faithful in your giving and in your attendance, serving in ministry, praying for Glenkirk. I'm trusting God in this process, and I hope you will be as well. Third, I hope you'll welcome your new pastors. I hope you'll welcome them well. You'll probably have a transitional pastor in the next month or two, and eventually you'll have a new senior pastor. And can I tell you, every pastor is different. They come in all kinds of different personalities. But one thing every pastor has in common is that they are all human. A pastor is simply an imperfect woman or man called and gifted by God to shepherd God's people. No pastor is perfect. Every pastor makes mistakes and sins. I hope you'll welcome your new pastors. And for that matter, I hope you treat your current pastors as well, with love and grace and respect. I hope you'll appreciate who they are and what they bring to ministry rather than who they're not and what they don't bring. If they step on a landmine, I hope you'll protect them. If they make a mistake, I hope you'll forgive them. And please, I don't want to hear any stories about you comparing them to me. Please never say to your pastors, "Well, Pastor Tim used to fill in the blank." They'll do things differently because they'll be different. And that is a good thing. Before Pastor Walter Ray passed away a couple of months ago, as I've shared with you many times, we used to get together and have lunch occasionally. And Walter and I could not be more different. Walter was an extrovert. I'm more of an introvert. Walter was a storyteller, an evangelist. I'm more of a teacher. But we had deep mutual respect for each other, and I never, ever felt pressure from Walter to try to be more like him. He constantly affirmed me for who I was. And back in 2020, when we changed Glenkirk's mission statement, I asked to have lunch with Walter to talk about it. And I was a little nervous because the mission statement we had were changing was the one that he wrote. And it had been there for many, many years, but I wanted his input. And so I read our new mission statement to him, that Glenkirk is a worshiping community, inviting everyone to join in the journey of becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus, loving God and the world. And Walter just smiled and said, "Well, that's Glenkirk, so I'm all for it. Your next pastor may want to change some things. Be open, willing, ready to." Finally, I hope you'll continue to love more and love better. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday that we light the love candle, I'm reminded of my State of the Church message 3 months, where I encouraged us to love more and love better, and that's still my challenge. You see, love is like the oil that lubricates all of the parts of the engine of a church so it runs smoothly. Without love, all you have is friction. Without love, the engine seizes up, like when my son Cole forgot to check his engine oil and it ran out while he was in a blizzard in Utah and his engine seized up and his car was ruined. That was an expensive lesson. Love makes everything else in a church run smoothly. Love forgives. It assumes the best of people. It speaks truth gently and respectfully. And I hope you'll continue to grow in loving more and loving better. I'm committed to that. So as our paths diverge and we part ways in our pilgrimage, Psalm 121 reminds us that our help comes from our all-powerful God, that God protects us along the way and leads us through the transitions of life. So we have nothing to fear. God is here. God is with us. Our relationship will be different after today. In our network of churches, ECO, the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians, we have a statement of ethics for pastors who leave their church. All ordained pastors in ECO agree to abide by this statement of ethics. And I'd like to share that statement with you. Put it up on a slide, a couple of slides. When a pastor leaves a call, there are bonds of affection between the pastor and the covenant partners of the congregation that continue to be cherished. Friendships may continue, but the pastoral relationship does not. In order for the work of the congregation to prosper, when any pastor resigns from a pastorate, that pastor should cease to perform pastoral functions at funerals, baptisms, and weddings, unless invited to officiate in such a capacity by the new pastor or by the moderator of the session, the Board of Elders. Ordinarily, the pastor will not participate in the life and worship of the church he or she is leaving for at least 1 year. Excuse me. Therefore, the pastor is encouraged to find another worshiping community for spiritual nourishment during this period of time. Individual members are asked not to place former pastors in the awkward position of asking their friend to perform the duties of a pastor. Thank you. Instead, congregants are to work through the moderator of session, transitional pastor, or new pastor. During this season of transition, the space offered gives both the congregation and the pastor time to work through their grief that always exists in a pastoral transition. This means that I'll be worshiping elsewhere starting next Sunday. If you want to contact me, you can find me on social media or you can contact the church and they can put you in touch, but I won't be functioning as a pastor in your life in order to give space for the next pastor. Finally, as I close, I want to express my deep appreciation for our staff, our pastoral team, and I want to especially mention Pastor Kate. You know, it's hard to believe, but Pastor Kate and I had only met each other once or twice before she applied for the associate pastor role here. But in the last 2.5 years, we've become great partners in ministry. I've learned a lot from her about connecting with younger generations and been able to speak into her life as well. And I'm going to miss that partnership, and I'm glad she'll continue her work here as shepherding you along with your other pastors, Pastor Caitlin, Pastor Gio, and our parish associate, Andrea Messenger. Just want to express my appreciation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. As we look up to the mountains, we know where our help comes from. It doesn't come from the mountains. It doesn't come from ourselves. Comes from you. And so, Lord, we trust you today in the comings and goings of our lives, that you are with us. Thank you for that assurance, because it makes the comings and goings just a little bit easier. God, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.